the August 24, 2022 meeting of the Coastal Regional MPO will now come to order. The core MPO is holding in-person meeting with a virtual option for non-voting members and members of the public. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating today, in today's agenda is broken down into the following items: approval of the agenda, committee reports, action items to be presented by the staff, other business, staff report on current projects, activities, information reports, other public comments, notes by the chairman, adjournment. For each agenda item, the staff will make a presentation. The board may then ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comment section, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For members of the public, to comment on an item that the board is considering, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. For persons attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaking card. At the appropriate time, I will recognize you and staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, you will be notified that your time has expired and I will recognize the next speaker. The meeting will now come to order. First on our agenda is the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'll second that.
All right. As we make our motions, please state your names for the record, because they need to get us.
Les Fussell, make the motion. Okay. Rich Manuel.
Tom Caff, I'll second that.
All right. The motion has been properly motion and second. Are there any unreadiness? May I have a vote of approval, and please state your name and your yes or your no.
Les Fussell, Richmond Hill, yes.
Tom Caffa, yes.
Yes.
Michael Kegler, yes.
Miley, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Nick Palumbo, yes.
Yes.
Diedrich Cody, yes.
Jim I.O., yes.
Cameron Ellis, yes. The motion has been adopted. We get ready for committee reports, verbal from ACAT, Pam Oglesby. Do we have a sub for her? No, the governor says they got to be in person. And that's what I read in the statement. All right. That's the directive from the governor. They must be in person. For all non-voting members, they may be virtual, but voting members must be in person. All right. Okay. All right, now we got someone for ACAT. All right, come on.
Hi, Mr. Chairman. ACAT met this past Monday and endorsed.
State who you are for the board.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Asia Herndon, and I am a planner with Core MPO and the MPC. And I'm giving this report for the ACAT committee. ACAT met this past Monday and endorsed all of the action items.
All right. CAC.
This is Michael Wong. I will present the CEC agenda items. We actually presented all the action items and the CEC approved all of those. And then we also did some status report. Thank you.
TCC. Ms. Bernard, someone is substituting for her.
I'm Alan Blake for Pamela Bernard. Yes, the TCC met and approved all of the action items.
Okay. The executive director?
I just wanted to take an opportunity to introduce you all to a new staff person that we've got from the Memphis MPO. Her name is Jasmine Champion, and she will be a senior planner with the MPO and MPC, and is going to be the project manager for the urban flooding model. So she just stand up again, Jasmine. So just wanted to make sure that you all knew who she was, and you know, there will be times when she's calling on your staff, so please make them aware as well to respond. There's a lot of grant funding out there, and we want to make sure that you all have the opportunity to either participate or let us know so that we can partner you with someone who is going to participate.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you and welcome. All right, let us move to the action items. Approval of the June 22nd, 2022 meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve. Nick Palumbo.
Sean Gillen, second.
Properly motion and second that the minutes be approved from the June 22, 2022 board meeting. Are there any readiness? Please signify your vote by speaking your name and vote in the affirmative. Can start on my left. I mean my right down in. Yes, sir.
Jim Io, yes.
Diedrich Cody, yes.
Faye DiMassimo, yes.
Nick Palumbo, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Miley, yes.
Van Johnson, yes.
Michael Kegler, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Alan Blake, yes.
Tom Caiafa, yes.
Tim Cownan, yes.
Chairman Ellis, yes. The motion passes. And then we go to the FY 2023 UPWP.
Yes, good morning. And I will do the presentation on this one. We will have three amendments to the fiscal year 2023 Unified Planning Work Program. As you all know, UPWP is the staff work program. We are updating the UPWP for three studies. The first study is the I-16 exit ramp removal project, IMR, interchange modification report, and this is from the city of Savannah. The reason we are updating UPWP is because some of these studies, the applicant, the project sponsors will actually apply for the funds for either the PL discretionary funds or the Y230 funds to conduct these studies. And then the requirements for both funds is that they have to be included in the unfunded section of the Unified Planning Work Program. And then when the funds are awarded, the study then can be moved to the funded section. For the PL discretionary funds, the deadline for applications, submitting application is August 29th. And then for the Y230 funds, and we are going to start a call for projects. So by amending these studies into our unfunded section of UPWP, we will make them eligible to apply for the funds. So basically, this I-16 MLK ramp removal project interchange modification report, the original one was finished in 2014, but it's out of date. So if City of Savannah wants to move along with the project, with the study and find the feasibility and start implementation, they have to restart this IMR process. This study, we started the discussion at the TCC in June and finished the discussion in August. So that's also part of the procedure. So now we're recommending include this study into the unfunded section of the UPWP so that City of Savannah can start apply for the funds. And the second one.
Wait, stop right there on the first one.
Okay.
Are there any questions from any board members now concerning that report? None. Okay, now.
Okay. Yeah, the cost for this is about $300,000. So when City of Savannah applies for either the PL discretionary funds or the Y230 funds, they will apply for $240,000, and they will come with the $60,000 match. And my understanding is that City of Savannah also wants to apply for the reconnecting community funds, and that's directly from USDOT. But including that into the unfunded section of the UBLB will probably help you as well.
All right, question.
With the reconnecting community program funds, is that going to work out a little bit more?
A little bit up or more?
Bring it back down, so.
The other way, okay.
So with the reconnecting community fund program, you're saying that those funds are included in the 200, or that particular programming is included as we move forward?
We are including this study, the I-16X ramp removal IMR, into the Unified Planning Work Program. And that's the prerequisite before City of Savannah applies for the Y230 funds and the PL discretionary funds. It's not a requirement for the reconnecting community funds, but included in the UPLP will probably show to the USDOT that you are coordinating with MPO. So that might help you, actually.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
So are you looking to, if you're going for PL funds for a GAMPO, when are you looking to put this in the, to what meeting are you looking to apply for these funds for? Or is that not been determined yet?
I will ask the City of Savannah do you want to do it? I think if we apply for the funds in August, that means they can start as early as April of next year.
So right? You'd look to March of 23, that particular area?
I think we are trying to apply, probably send the application in by August 29th, next week.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Any other questions? Okay, proceed.
Okay. The next one, we already amended this state road US 17 corridor study into the UPWP at last meeting, but I got some cost estimate update. At the last meeting, when we amended this study into the UPWP, the cost was $350,000, and the federal portion is about $280,000, and Chatham County is coming up with $70,000. But the county engineering department actually did estimate based on the state road 07 corridor study. So like per mile basis, they calculated it. So it's bumped up to about $500,000. So when they apply for either the Y230 funds or PL discretionary funds, they will be applying for $400,000. And Chatham County will come up with $100,000 as local match. Any questions on this one?
Okay.
Okay. And then the last one for the UPWP amendment is CAT wants to add a study into the transit planning tasks. And that study is the AAOP funded study. So it's for FTA's area of persistent poverty program. And CAT will study the potential to connect emerging job centers in areas that are high levels of racial inequity or persistent poverty, so provide transportation, public transportation. The award that CAT got is about $400,000, and the local match will be about 10%. This is not 80-20 match, so this is like 90-10 match. So CAT will come up with the 10% local match. Eventually, we will have to include all these funds into the transportation improvement program as well, and the TIP as well. But right now, it's like the federal government are coming up with a lot of those notice funding opportunities. They do a lot of funding award, but they don't have specific guidelines. So CAT is waiting to get those guidance before they decide how to program this. For example, it says AOPP, but in terms of FTA funding, so what is the funding code? Maybe 5307, 5309. I mean, it's just we're depending on the details before we amend this into the TIP. But right now, we just want to include this one into the UPWP.
All right, any questions on this? Or does anyone want to make any clarification for Kat on what you're doing? You got it? Okay.
It was stated absolutely correctly where we are in terms of waiting on the additional guidance, and but the intention of the awards and so forth is properly presented here.
Right. So we make sure that the public knows that what is waiting on is the guideline. The money's in place, but the guidelines as to how you spend that money is not in place. The feds have not put it there yet. So we've got to wait on their timeline and work with them. So make sure we stay abreast, all right, of all the latest changes and things they're making, because I know that that's one of the reasons why I got over here. I was on the phone with them. They're making changes as of today, all right? They're making up as we go, all right? The money is there, but we have to make sure we fit into those guidelines. So let us make sure we stay abreast. And let me say this to all of us now. As you hear from the folks in the transportation department, make sure you know that the MPO staff knows what you're talking to, who you're talking to, and what they're telling you, all right? So that we don't get off on the same, off on the wrong page, because they may be operating under one, right? And you've talked to somebody who told you, well, you know, y'all can go ahead and do this, but MPO doesn't know that you can go ahead and do this, all right? So we have to make sure, and that's in all these things that we are dealing with, federal transportation, and we're dealing with the FAA and all the rest. Make sure that MPO knows who you're talking to and what they're telling you. And most of all, if they're sending you emails, why don't you send a copy over to MPO so that we can be on the same page? One of the things that will hurt us is that MPO gets caught off base because they don't know what the people are talking about, okay? And I know that, as I said, it's a work in progress, okay? So when we have these phone calls, when we talk to people from transportation department, from labor department, from all of, even if you're talking to folks from GDOT, make sure that MPO knows who's telling you what to do, all right? Or else we're gonna find ourselves in a bog, all right? And a tire won't do nothing but spin when it's in soft sand, okay? Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, one thing I would like to add for the benefit of the group that I think is important about these two grants, both the ARP or Out Restoration and the Areas of Persistent Poverty Program, is that know that these are going to be fully incorporated, and we have come up with a complete coordination plan for the master transit plan effort and the comprehensive operational analysis that are ongoing. Right. So there won't be duplication of effort. We're making sure everything works together in a coordinated, integrated fashion. So if there's questions around those kinds of things, I just wanted to be sure that that was reflected, which means also that all of Chatham County will have the opportunity to participate in all of these, both how we utilize the resources that we're being granted, but also the sort of overall vision of where we want to go. So thank you, sir.
And make sure now, so that the director knows, will know, it's got to be included both in the 2040 plan and the 2050 plan.
2050. Yeah.
Plan.
The recommendations from the CAD Transit Master Plan and the Transportation Development Plan, yeah, will be incorporated into the 2050 MTP of the current PO, because the current PO's plan is multimodal.
Right. Okay.
So. And I just want to say just very quickly, when you start thinking about transportation, everybody thinks about transit and road networks and freight, but don't forget the folks in your recreation departments that are working on trails and greenways need to also be keeping us in the loop. So if you can make sure that you copy me and Wakoda, we can at least make sure that whatever they're proposing, what you're thinking about doing, is included in our MT, our master transportation plan that we're updating for 2050. All of that information needs to be in our planning documents, so when you go to apply for funding, it's showing up. It's something that was at least thought about and that you all know about, so that you can partner and leverage the resources. So don't forget your Parks and Recs folks as you were dealing with getting information for grants and other information that we may send you.
Yeah, actually, Melanie made a very good point because we are updating our non-motorized transportation plan, which is basically a bicycle pedestrian trail plan. So if your recreational department has some project, I mean, if you don't want to pursue the federal dollars, that's fine. But if you want to pursue federal dollars in the future to implement this project, make sure that you want to include that project into the non-motorized transportation plan.
And that also applies to if you seeking state funds as well, right?
It's always good that it's consistent with the MPO's plan. So whether you are pursuing the federal dollars or state funds, and normally it's a requirement. Yeah.
Right. Because what's happening now, and in case any of you don't know, what's happening is the feds have given the state a cadre of monies, all right, that's supposed to float down this way. But if we don't cross these T's and dot these I's, we get stalled into receiving those monies. So we have to make sure that on all levels, MPO knows that they can put it in, they can get with your staff and they can put it in there so that when they read the overall 2050 plan, it tells them that it's in there so that they don't think that you're isolating from funds and they come up and say you're duplicating. All right, because if you come up and say you're duplicating, that's going to put you on the back burner. And all of you know now, these are competitive grants from all over the country. Okay?
Okay. When we come back to the UPWP, we would just ask the Cornpeel Board to approve the proposed UPWP amendments for the three studies.
All right. Anything else? Thank you, ma'am. Let's go on to Wakota. You still up?
Yes, I have covered the next item as well. The next item authorizes a study for the 2045 Metropolitan Transportation Plan. We are starting the 2050 plan update, but we are still governed by the 2045, which
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. You guys didn't vote on the previous item. If you could do that, we would appreciate it for the record.
All right. Oh, that doesn't have to come up under the public hearing part. That's what I was in. Okay, we can go back. Let us slide back.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
You got to say who you are.
Van Johnson.
So moved. All
right, it's been properly motioned and second that we approve the UPWP amendments. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your vote, stating your name, starting to hill my left on the far end.
Tim Callanan, yes.
Tom Caffa, yes.
Alan Black, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Michael Kegley, yes.
Van Johnson, yes.
Miley, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Nick Palumbo, yes.
Faye DeMassimo, yes.
Diedrich Cody, yes.
Jim Aiello, yes.
All right, Jim Manolis, yes. Dr. Javez is the voting member, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
All right. Dr. Javez, I need your vote.
Yes, Dr. Javez.
Okay. All right. It passes. Now we're ready to move on. And listen, as we go, all right, because I'm reading one thing and I'm seeing another, and you're telling me something different. As we go, let me know when we need to vote separately from when we get down to the public hearing and things that we need to have, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead.
And now we are on item number three, authorize a study for 2045 MTP amendment. As I mentioned, we're starting to develop the 2050, but we're still under the guidance of the 2045 Metropolitan Transportation Plan. And this is the long-range transportation plan. And it's divided into three different cost bands. And each cost band is financially constrained. That means you only have certain revenues to cover a certain number of projects. But we did receive a request from Georgia DOT to add one project into cost band one of the 2045 plan, which is the Memorial Bridge replacement or whatever improvements. So the total cost for this project for preliminary engineering is in 2023 is about $15 million. For construction in 2024 is $175 million. So when you add that up, that's almost $200 million. And we don't have that kind of money in our current 2045 financially constrained plan. So That means that we have to follow the two-step amendment process, because this is what's included in our participation plan. If any request is a minor revision and it doesn't impact anything, so it's just a small change, we can do it administratively. And if it doesn't impact other projects, it can be processed as one-step amendment. But when it has the huge impact, like I just stated, you're adding like $200 million for one project, and you have to kick out a lot of other projects in the financially constrained plan. So we have to do further analysis, and that is a two-step amendment. So this is the, we are over here at this meeting, we are requesting the board to authorize the staff to collect more information and then do the analysis. So this is the first step, is to authorize the staff to do the analysis. And then the second step is that we will come back to you with the information that we find out. And then if we're going to kick out projects, we have to recommend which project to kick out. So as of now, I think the GDOT is here. They might be able to provide you with more information on this project. So I don't think the schedule will work, because we just, all those projects that we already have in the cost spend one, they are programmed for a reason. So they were priorities. You cannot just have a new project come to supersede all of the priorities before. So, but at this meeting, we would just ask your authorization for us to do further digging. And because, I mean, so far we haven't received much information about the project. We don't know what it is. We just received this request. So we want to study more before we can give you some recommendations and we will present our findings.
Okay, now let me ask, is someone from GDOT on or here?
Yeah.
Can you enlighten us on what this is?
excuse me. Currently, this project is, as we were considering, a maintenance project for the moment. A lot of it involves possible replacement of the cables, the cable stays, looking at the investigating anything regarding the roadway barriers. And also we're having a crew going out on the bridge over the next 2 weeks, including some lane closures next week. And there's possible additional items that may come up, but we haven't been provided that information yet by our Office of Alternative Delivery.
But isn't this one of those projects that you're working with the Ports Authority on? They're not involved with you yet.
They're tangentially involved at the moment. But again, that our office hasn't been involved in those discussions directly.
Okay. And that's one of those things that we're dealing with. We need to get more information about who's doing what. Okay. Because I'm in and out of these meetings, and sometimes I get caught off guard. I know they've been talking about it. I've seen drawings or concept drawings of going under the river, going over the river, going around the river, whatever you want to say. All right. But I don't have anything concrete. And I think that's the same thing as with the MPO staff. We don't know. So
yeah,
this showed up.
I think Tom might have some information, but Tom doesn't have all the information because they didn't release all the information to the planning office. So we will coordinate with the planning office, and they will probably try to get more information for us, and then we will decide what we can do. I mean, if in the future, when we do the analysis, if it's like top priority for Georgia Ports Authority, my recommendation is you come up with your own money. Because, I mean, they have a lot of money, and you have like I mean, that's additional revenue. Because if you see this, there's a Y001 funds. It actually has to do with the district rebalancing. So I'm not even sure that GDOT can come with this money.
Right.
But that will be the future recommendation that we gave you. Yeah. But right now, just we're trying to gather authorization to do further analysis and collect more information.
Right. And we need that because we need to know, like, for instance, if they come in here and move $200 million and got to kick out some of your projects that's already been accepted, you're going to be upset. And I can see head bowing when I say that, okay? So we do need a motion and a second to give the staff authorization to get more information and do more studies so that they can bring us back more information, because right now we helter-skelter.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is, well, I think the devil in the details is that no further details on the project were provided. My concern is this authorization for them to get more information?
Right.
Or is this information for us to make the amendment?
Mr. Mayor, could you turn your mic on?
It is on.
Maybe he needs to pump it up, pump up the volume.
You can't hear me?
Now we can.
Y'all lean into the mic.
Yeah. So I've never been accused of having a light voice.
Yeah.
My concern was at the end, no further details on the project were provided. And I was asking for clarification, was a request for us to be able to ask staff to get further information?
Yes.
Or was it for the amendments to be made?
It authorized us to collect more information because we currently don't have that much information.
Okay, that's my concern.
Right? Yeah, so we will collect more information, find more about this project and then the cost and what it entails, what kind of improvements, and then we will make a recommendation to you later.
And you would require, you require authorization to just gather information?
Yeah, that's according to our participation plan.
Okay.
This kind of amendment is like two-step amendment.
Okay.
The first step is to authorize the staff to collect more information.
Okay.
And then do an analysis.
All right, thank you.
Also, Mr. Mayor and Mr. Chairman, any other additional questions that you may have or anyone on this committee has for GDOT can work with the MPO and send them to Robbie Caudill. He's the GDOT planner for Savannah, and we can relay those to our executive management and the Office of Alternative Delivery. On any further details.
Okay.
So now, can I get the motion? Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to allow the MPO staff to begin get the devil out of the details and getting them more information that we need to move forward.
Second.
So probably motion and seconded that we get more details as to GDOT's request. Are you ready for the question? Please vote starting to my right. State your name and your vote.
Aiello, yes.
Deidre Cody, yes.
Di DeMassimo, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Miley, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Michael Kegler, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Alan Black, yes.
Tom Caiafa, yes.
Tim Callanan, yes.
Dr. Shabazz, yes.
Chairman, yes. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to Jamie. Baptism under fire.
How are you all doing this morning?
Great.
I am going to be presenting the item number 4 for the August amendment tips. GDOT has requested the amendments, and we have 4 of them. The 4 are here, and we have I-516 at Durain Ave. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. But the update is to remove the right-of-way phase program for fiscal year 2024 from the current tip and move it long range, which will be in fiscal year 2025. The next one is State Route 404 northeast of Savannah Harbor Parkway to back RVR, remove the construction phase program in 2024 to fiscal year 2025. The next one is State Route 26/US 80 at Bull River. Move this right-of-way phase program in 2023 to 2024, which means it will stay in the current tip. The next one is State Route 26 from I-516 to Ogeechee Road, and this is to revise the UTL cost from $3,436,007 to $3,951,655.64. And we are asking for you all to approve these amendments for us.
Okay, now, let me ask this question so we make sure we're on the right page. Do I have to do the public hearing before I have any questions from the board? Okay, I want to make sure I got all of it. All right. We're getting ready now to open a virtual public hearing. We will now open the virtual public hearing for the August amendments to fiscal year 2021 through 2024 Transportation Improvement Plan. Please identify yourself before speaking and make sure that you are unmuted. Now, anyone in the public who wishes to speak, please use the raise your hand. So may I have a motion to open the public hearing?
So moved, Mr. Chair. Tanya Milton.
Chair, Dr. Spaz.
Okay. Having a motion and a second to open the public hearing. Are there any unreadiness? Please state, starting to my far left, your desire to go into public hearing.
Yes, Tim Callahan.
Caiafa, yes.
Helen Blake, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Michael Kegler, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Miley, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Colombo, yes.
Faye DiMassimo, yes.
Diedrich Cody, yes.
Aiello, yes.
All right, Chairman, yes. This public hearing is now open. Do we have anyone who has signed up? I'm looking at staff. We don't have anyone who signed up. All right. So now, may I have a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved, Johnson.
Second, Tanya.
Improper motion and second that the virtual public hearing be closed. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your answer by starting at my right.
Aiello, yes.
Peter Cody, yes.
Colombo, yes. Sean Gillen, yes.
Miley, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Michael Kegler, yes.
Fussell, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Helen Blake, yes.
Caiafa, yes.
Tim Callahan, yes.
Dr. Spaz, yes.
The chairman, yes. Okay, now, is there any comments coming from any board member on any one of the four recommendations of the projects and updates?
Mr. Chair.
All right.
The explanation of why for 516 at Project Uren, the removal of the right-of-way phase program going from fiscal year 24 to 25.
Would GDOT be able to answer that?
Is District 5 on the call?
Yes.
Okay.
I couldn't hear her.
She wants you to explain why they're moving the I-516 Durant Avenue projects from fiscal year 2021 to fiscal year 2025. The pin on that is 0008358.
Christy, do you have anything on that?
Yes, this is Christy Levitt. I'm with the Department of Transportation Program Delivery. That one, yes, it's being shifted due to Federal Highway has asked for additional environmental justice to be done. So we're having to go back and work through them to develop a plan of what that'll look like. So that is the reason it's being shifted.
Mm-hmm. Did I answer your question?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
We talked about this at our last MPO meeting in reference to the environmental justice piece. For the right-of-way portion for Project Uren. I am questioning this because of the anticipation of the public and my constituents and our constituents in the city of Savannah in reference to this project and the disgust and frustration of this project continuously moving from year to year to year, and our constituency has been looking for a right-of-way approval to move forward, you know, since 2019. So now we're talking about 2025. I understand that we can't move any further than what, or move forward until the Highway Federal Administration is satisfied. But I'm hoping that, how long is it going to take for the federal government to get their environmental justice piece done? Does anyone know that?
Does anyone from GDOT know that or had that conversation with the Highway Administration?
This is Christy Levitt again, and I'm not sure if anybody with the City of Savannah, they're the sponsor. I'm not sure if anybody there wants to speak up since it's technically their project, but I will speak to, I know we're developing the plan. We don't have any certain timeline. I know the city was developing a plan, sending it to Federal Highway. They have to agree to the plan of what the additional outreach will even look like. So at this time, I don't think we could definitively say what that time frame will be exactly.
Mr. Chair.
No, that's probably.
All right, the mayor.
I ask that you recognize Heath Lloyd from the City of Savannah.
Mr. Lloyd, yes. The mic is yours.
Thank you. Good morning, Christy, and I'm going to speak for the City of Savannah. You asked if we were here. I certainly concur with your notion of the environmental justice piece. I think where we are, my understanding is we have submitted information to the Federal Highway Administration, and we have given them what we think is our path towards enhancing the environmental justice that we've done, and we're waiting to hear back from them. Is that not your understanding? Just so that we're clear.
Yes, sir. I agree with that.
Okay.
We're not right.
Say again?
I was just going to say yes. So we're not really sure, from what I know at this point, whether they are accepting our plan or not. So yes.
Yeah. So just for clarification as to where we stand, the City of Savannah, we have submitted to them what we believe is additional environmental justice as it related to their concerns. And we are waiting to hear back from them if, in fact, that meets the mark of what the Federal Highway Administration is waiting for. And Christy, I will ask if there is something that you can do to expedite a conversation. We are trying our best to have a conversation with the Federal Highway Administration to expedite this process, to get clarity as it relates to what we have submitted for environmental justice, just to make sure, again, that it meets what they are asking for. So if there's something you can do to facilitate a conversation, that would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, thank you.
This is actually Joe Longo with Federal Highways. I heard your question, and I will look into this and get back to you on that.
Thank you.
All right, let me ask this intervening question, because I don't have any nickels in this dime, okay? But I'm going to ask this question. Does GDOT have what you have given to the Federal Highway? Do they have a copy of what you sent to the Federal Highway?
My understanding is that they do, Mr. Chairman. We sent that via GDOT and the Federal Highway Administration. I can confirm that, but my understanding as I stand here today is yes.
Okay. All right. So, and the only reason I'm asking that question is because that's one of those pitfalls that we have.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say they don't have it, and they'll say they have it, but they don't have it. And it's got to go through GDOT. So we have to make sure that GDOT gets what you sent to the feds. And so if you can get with GDOT to make sure that happens, maybe that may expedite the situation.
Yes, sir. We'll do that. Just for clarity, we believe what happened for the board is that when Biden took over, they took a fresh perspective of some of the environmental justice concerns. And what we had previously submitted as it pertains to Project Wren, they wanted some additional information. And so, again, we set that up through the chain, and now we're waiting to hear back from them. But I think the best way to resolve this, honestly, will be a discussion with the Federal Highway Administration. So we look forward to that if someone can facilitate that discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
And we've started some of those conversations. It's simply a change in administration with change in rules. We did what was required under the Trump administration, and we're fully compliant. The Biden administration required different rules. Our position is that we followed the rules that were in place at the time of our application. And so we are having those conversations regarding that aspect of the process.
So may I ask that you also include the board members, I mean, the staff members from MPO in that conversation so that they'll know too, all right, what's going on? Because that's what people claim, you know, I don't know, nobody told me. And then that causes delay again. And I understand your frustration because this has been on the book since I was a, I'm not going to say. Sir. But you know what I mean.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Any now, yes, sir.
And Mr. Chairman, just a quick process question. I agree with my colleagues from the city of Savannah. I witnessed personally the amount of hard work and effort Mayor Pro Tem Shabazz has put into this endeavor. And especially for the residents that it impacts, you know, life is what happens when you're busy making plans and they're determining what to do with their homes and their livelihoods out of this. I want to make sure that before we move ahead today, we don't do something to put this at the bottom of somebody's outbox. Would it be possible to at least amend this particular item before we get some more information from the Federal Highway Administration and communicate with our partners before moving ahead with this amendment?
First thing I would say is until you get the information from the Federal Highway, you don't have anything to give your constituents except what you have already done and how they may not understand how the dynamics from one administration to the other has changed. So they're requesting and requiring more information. And so other than that, you know, I don't think until you hear from GDOT and until GDOT and the city hear from the feds that there is anything to give publicly, is there? Now, if I'm wrong, let me know. Somebody from the city?
I recommend that we accept the amendments and so that we can keep on working on this project, actually. The only concern I have is I want to make sure the Y230 funds allocated to this project move the funds with the project to the later year. So make sure the project doesn't lose that funds. Yeah.
Because they're afraid of it lapsing. Right. If it doesn't, we could fall into that lapse category, right?
It's not lapsing, but because previously the right way for this project was in fiscal year 2022.
Right.
And in June, we actually amended, we made the amendment to move it into 2024, because by that time, GDOT gave us a schedule. So they thought the additional environmental justice analysis takes about 18 months. So that's why we move it to 2024. But now they're telling us they actually need more time than the 18 months.
And when you say they, you're talking about the feds?
Yeah, GDOT.
Okay, yeah, GDOT needs.
They gave us a schedule last time. It's about 18 months. That's how we estimated it. So City of Savannah actually sent the letter to request to move the funds with the project to 2024. So now it seems like their schedule has been extended. So we just need to move the right way phase to fiscal 2025, but with the caveat that we want to keep the Y230 funds for the project so we don't lose it.
All right, let me go to Glenn.
Yes, ma'am. Is it any problem that if this was all approved as prepared, it still doesn't, we could approve it as recommended by staff, and then as the project unfolds and the city gets more information from the Federal Highway Administration, it can move faster, correct? We're not delaying the process by approving this amendment as prepared. The process can still move more speedily than this. This is just a procedural matter that has to be done.
Yes.
I'm understanding.
Yes. So if a City of Savannah and GDOT and the Federal Highway Administration decided they can probably cut the additional environmental justice analysis into like 12 months, we can move the project back.
So in no way do we in this support for this delay the process. I'm prepared to ask to call the question if you'd like, Mr. Commissioner.
All right, let me make sure that Ms. Lloyd, you wanted to say something else?
Yeah, no, I certainly concur with Wacota. Very good point in terms of what you're voting for now is to give us access to those funds. I do want to make one point for clarification. GDOT, as well as the Federal Highway Administration, originally said 18 to 36 months. That is part of what that conversation is. So for the listening public, our hope is to certainly get that down to something we think is more reasonable so that we can continue this project. So we're looking for anywhere between 8 to 12 months for this environmental justice, just for clarity. But I certainly concur with Wacota's approach as well as the call to question.
Okay. Before we call a question, I do have on readiness from.
Is the question for all the TIP amendments or just this one?
No, it's for all of them going together.
Then my, I do have a question.
Okay, let's go on to that.
Same question as Dr. Shabazz had. Why is the Tybee Bridge or the Bull River Bridge being delayed from 2023 to 2024? Although I've seen attempts at explanations of this, what's the reason for the delay? I'm sure there's a reason.
Can GDOT answer this one as well?
Someone at GDOT, speak loud, speak up. Because everyone has a question.
This is Christy Levitt again with GDOT. I can speak for this. When we originally had the one causeway project, which included the two bridges also, we broke them up into three separate projects. So the environmental process, environmental document that is now required, that because it has, the bridges have federal money. So it's the environmental to go through that, which is now what has thrown this out further than we anticipated, because they put federal money. We initially thought we would use state money. So that's, it's environmental again.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Any now, the question has been called for. Is there a motion?
Palumbo, second.
Properly motion and second that we move forward with the amendments and give them an approval for all four. Are you ready for the question? Please signify your decision by giving me your vote, your name and vote from start beginning at my right.
Hale, yes.
Cody, yes.
DeMassimo, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Miley, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Michael Kegley, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Alan Blake, yes.
Kaiafa, yes.
Tim Callahan, yes.
Shabazz, yes.
Chairman, yes. Okay. Thank you, man. All right, let us go on to Ms. Asia.
Okay, I'm just going to open the attachment.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just give a brief summary of this amendment. So for many funding opportunities, such as the Y301 Transportation Alternatives Funds, bike and pedestrian projects have to be consistent with the non-motorized transportation plan in order to receive those funds. So CORMPO staff coordinated with a senior transportation engineer from Chatham County to add the Green Island Road Trail project to the non-motorized transportation plan. And the project summary and the applications is outlined throughout the rest of this document. So Chatham County has applied for the statewide transportation alternatives grant fund through the GDOT call for projects. And this project, Green Island Road Trail Project, is a proposed multi-purpose trail from Diamond Causeway to the end of Green Island Road. The project is located near the Landings neighborhood and will add 2 miles of trail to the existing trail on Diamond Causeway. And it will link to neighborhoods and a commercial center. So there are benefits to this project, which I'll go through. So some of the benefits include enhancing connectivity and encouraging non-motorized transportation, such as walking and biking. There are health and safety benefits, such as reducing emissions. And the proposed path is also compliant with ADA law, which improves accessibility. So now just moving on to the proposed cost breakdown. The cost is a little bit over $3 million. With a 80-20 local match. There is a 15-day public comment period that began August 10th, and it will end today at 5 p.m. So far, we have received no comments on this amendment. And this is a public hearing. This requires a public hearing. It was promoted as one.
Okay. So can we have a motion to go into public hearing.
Palumbo, so moved.
Second, Tim Callahan.
All right, it's been properly motioned to second that we go into public hearing. May I start from my left this time?
Tim Callahan, yes.
Caiafa, yes.
Alan Black, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Michael Kegley, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Miley, yes.
Sean Gillen, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Maximo, yes.
Cody, yes.
Aiello, yes.
Papa Shabazz, yes.
Chairman, yes. We will now open the virtual public hearing for the Green Island Road Trail Amendment. Please identify yourself before speaking. Make sure that you are unmuted. Do we have anyone from the public? No one from the public. Okay, so may I have a motion to close then?
Motion to close, Miley.
Second, Tanya Milton.
Been properly motioned and second that we close the public hearing, starting to my right.
Yes, Aiello.
Cody, yes.
DeMassimo, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Gillen, yes.
Miley, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Fussell, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Alan Black, yes.
Caiafa, yes.
Callahan, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right, now, do we have any questions or discussion coming from board members? All right, none. Okay.
So we are asking for an approval of the Green Island Road Trail Amendment.
May I have a motion?
So moved, Mr. Chairman. Tanya Milton.
Palumbo, second.
Properly motion is second that the Green Island Road Trail be amendment be passed. Are you ready for the question? Please start by beginning on my left.
Callahan, yes.
Caiafa, yes.
Alan Black, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Les Fussell, yes.
Kegley, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Miley, yes.
Gillen, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
DeMassimo, yes.
Cody, yes.
Yes. Dr. Shabazz, yes.
Okay, and Chairman, yes. Mm-hmm. All right, going to the next one, Ms. Agent.
Okay, I'll also be presenting item six, the call for projects for the Y301 transportation funds, transportation alternative funds. So CORMPO will conduct a call for projects for the fiscal year 2023 to 2027 Y301 transportation alternatives funds. TA funding was most recently authorized by Congress in 2021 as the set aside of the Surface Transportation Block Grant Program under the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. The focus of transportation alternatives is to promote the feasibility of alternatives to motor vehicle travel, such as through bicycle or pedestrian projects. So CORMPO will be starting the call for projects for this fund on August 25th, 2022 to allocate those Y301 funds, and I will be the one that is managing those applications. At the previous TCC meeting, we were asked to amend the schedule a little bit just to give them more time to review the applications, and the changes to that schedule are reflected on this agenda. So with that, we are asking the CORMPO board to approve the Y301 call for projects manual, forms, and schedule.
Okay.
And I'll show the schedule really quickly.
Okay, the call for projects begin on August 25th.
Yes.
And it's going to close?
September 26th.
September 26th. Okay. All right, now, any questions from the board members? And may I have a motion to grant the request?
So moved, Mr. Chair, Dr. Shabazz.
Second, Caiafa.
Property motion is second that the call for projects. New schedule be adopted. Are you ready for the question? Please signify by voting, starting on my left, right.
Cody, yes.
DeMassimo, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Gillen, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Kegley, yes.
Fussell, yes.
Milton, yes.
Blake, yes.
Caiafa, yes.
Callahan, yes.
Chavez, yes.
Allen, yes.
Aiello, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Going back to Ms. Jamie.
Hello again.
Yes, ma'am.
The next item is item number 7. I will be presenting on regarding the Y230 funds. The core MPO will conduct a call for projects for the fiscal year 2023-2027 Y230 Surface Transportation Block Grant Funds. The STBG funding was most recently authorized by Congress in 2021 with a program continuation under the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, also known as the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law or the Bill. These are flexible funds that can be used to address regional transportation projects. And the core MPO will do a call for projects starting this month to allocate the Y230 funds. And we will also follow the same schedule that Asia just presented for the previous funding. So we are asking for you all's approval on the manual and the application to start this process.
Right. May I have a motion on the request?
Gillen, move approval.
DeMassimo, second.
Probably motion and second that we give approval to this item that's on the agenda. Please signify by beginning to my left.
Callahan, yes.
Kiappa, yes.
Blake, yes.
Milton, yes.
Fussell, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Miley, yes.
Gillen, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
DeMassimo, yes.
Cody, yes.
Aiello, yes.
Chavez, yes.
All right, Chairman, yes. And let me just add as a caveat to this, please work closely with staff to make sure that we get this in, okay? Because we're getting in line now. Everybody's doing the same thing all over the country. Okay, so these are competitive. And if we don't dot our I's and cross our T's, then we will fall to back to the back. So the call for projects, make sure we get them in with staff. All right, in all jurisdictions. All right, thank you, ma'am. Let's go back to Ms. Waco.
Okay, I will make the presentation on the number 8. Georgia PL Funds Review Committee actually issues the call for studies every twice a year. Once is in March, another time is in September. So for the September round of PL Fund Discretionary Funds, the application deadline is August 29th. So we are going to request funds for 3 studies. And one of them is that we already talked about I-16 flyover. IMR, so City of Savannah has already prepared this application, as you can see. So we're just waiting for the MPO board authorization of the application material before we submit this. So I have the resolution prepared. So the resolution for this study is over here. And then the second study that we're going to apply for funds is for the President Street at the Truman Linear Park Trail, at the Truman Linear Park, President Street at Truman Parkway, a railroad crossing grade separation study. So Chatham County has already prepared the application, and the total requested amount is about $240,000. And we also prepared, here's also the local commitment letter. And we also prepared the resolution for this over here. So we have the resolution for the MPO board authorization. And then the third study we want to apply for the funds for is the US 17 corridor study. And we also talked about this during the UPWP amendments. So the total requested amount would be about $400,000. And then Chatham County will come up with $100,000 as the local match. And the staff has also prepared the resolution for this US 17 corridor study. So if the MPO board authorizes us to submit the applications, and I will submit all of them on behalf of the City of Savannah and Chatham County by the deadline, which is August 29th. And the Georgia PL Funds Review Committee will meet in September. So at that meeting, we will know whether you get the award. So, but even if you don't get the award, Aisha and Jasmine just mentioned that we're going to do our call for projects. So you can submit Y230 funding applications through the MPO process as well. So for these studies. So for this meeting, we would just ask the MPO board to authorize the funding application package so that we can submit them on behalf of the Chatham County and the City of Savannah.
All right. Any questions from any board members?
I have kind of a request than a question. Sure. Regarding the end dates for each of your proposed PL funded studies, I would probably add about 6 months, but no less than 18, make it 18 months because we've been recommending to many of our MPOs for proposals that additional time just for kind of a buffer between, so you don't run into an area where you need to request a time extension. And that will likely come up at the PL Funds Committee meeting next month as it goes before the board. But that's just a recommendation from us in planning.
Yeah, I think even if Chatham County and the City of Savannah get the funding award, the earliest estimated time that they can start is probably April or May of next year, because you have to go through all those RFP process.
But does that give us time to do what he's recommending you do now?
It would just be adding time on the back of it. Right. I know, because procurement process for these are always, it gets pretty lengthy.
Yes.
And this would just be more so just in case you have a schedule slip, you're not going to have a run into a kind of a time crunch. And it doesn't change anything regarding funding. It's just sort of a recommendation we've had given our past years of overseeing these projects on the GDOT side. So for example, if something in October 23, I'd probably bump it to April or May of 24. And even if you completed it earlier, there's no penalty for early completion.
Yeah, so.
He's just saying put it in the language so it'll be there.
Yeah,
most you need it.
We can do that. Basically, it takes away the stress from us having to worry about coming back to figure out how to get an extension. So we can add, and we will talk with the applicants, but we're going to easily add at least 6 months.
So I just want to make sure.
Yeah. The end date. That's
so,
all.
Okay. So this project, you're talking about this application, right? Over here?
Yes. All the applications. It would just be adding another 6 months past the 6 to 8 months, but generally no less than a full 18 months from the start date.
Okay.
Other than that, I think that it would be good.
Okay. We will revise the application, work with the city and the county to revise the application timeline over here.
And this should not affect the passage of the resolution today. It's just before you submit, but we would be looking at additional 6 or so months from the end date.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you for pointing that out.
All right. Who's speaking? Yes.
I make a motion we approve as presented and allow for in-house staff to make schedule modifications as necessary.
All right.
I'll second that motion, Mr. Chair.
All right.
Gillen.
And proper motion is second that we accept the recommendation and that the staff be given authority to tweak the dates.
Okay.
As requested by GDOT. All right. We're ready for the question. All right. Let us vote. Beginning at my right.
Aiello, yes.
Cody, yes.
DeMassimo, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Gillen, yes.
Miley, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Fussell, yes.
Milton, yes.
Blake, yes.
Kiafa, yes.
Kellen, yes.
Chavez, yes.
Chairman, yes. Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Ready for other business? Do we have any, Ms. Director? Anything that came up?
I would just suggest with regards to the applications that we just went over for funding, that you all give some serious consideration of where you can partner with each other. It makes a much stronger application if there is some partnership. So, for example, I know the city of Savannah has done a Vision Zero plan, and there's grant funding out that is a component of that that some of the other jurisdictions haven't done, but you could partner with the city of Savannah or Chatham County to use the work that they've done so that you can get funding. So just give some thought. You can contact us about suggestions that we may have of where you can leverage your resources so that the smaller jurisdictions can also compete to get funding, which I know that they all need as well.
Okay. All right. Let's go on, Ms. Wakota, number nine.
Okay, now I'm going to address the agenda item nine, a 2050 MTP update. We plan to officially kick off the 2050 MTP update in September with a survey. But behind the scenes, we have already done a lot of work. So part of that is to, we developed the draft set of goals, objectives, and performance measures. And when we do the survey and hold the first round of public meetings, and we're going to use the input to refine the goals and objectives and performance measures. And then we also completed the base year, the 2020 social economic data for each traffic analysis zone for the travel demand model, and currently working with GDOT to refine some of the data because some of the underlying census data has some problems. For example, they have like more households than total population, more occupied households than total population. So we're trying to figure those out. And also for the travel demand model, last time I reported to you that Asia has been checking all the travel demand model links for the functional classification and the number of lanes. So far, she has completed the Bryan County and Effingham County. We need to send those in for the GDOT so that they can update their model based on our input. And she's going to focus on Chatham County. And we also worked with TCC on developing the project lists for the travel demand model, the first network and the second network. And those would be the projects that started construction or completed construction between 2015 to 2022. So we're going to submit this list to GDOT after today's meeting. So GDOT can just, the GDOT and their consultant will add those problem capacity lanes or whatever into the travel demand model. Another thing is we are having several studies ongoing. The freight plan update, US 80 corridor study that Puller's doing, and non-motorized transportation plan update, and Asia is managing. And the CAT is doing the transit development plan and a master transit plan. And then we also have the urban flooding model study. So everything, all of these studies will eventually feed into the 2050 MTP. So we will evaluate all of those. And then we will kick off the congestion management process since Jasmine is going to be managing that. Another thing that we're focusing on is the public engagement. So we are going to, we already established a website. Just to come over here, just to show you. So we're going to populate more information through the 2050 plan update, the website. So we're going to have all of our information posted over here. And then, as I said, we are developing the survey, and the survey questions are final. So now we're in the translation stage because we have three populations in our area that reach the limited English proficiency threshold, so which are Spanish, Chinese, and Vietnamese. So I'm translating the Chinese version, and then GDOT is helping us with the Spanish translation. And we're contacting Pan-Asian, I think, community to help us to translate into Vietnamese. So as soon as those are done, we're going to launch the survey. And then they will also have a map survey, so you can just click on that and then tell us what location that you have problems with and what mode. If you're like waiting for too long for the bus, or it's like you see sidewalks cracked, so just report all that to us. That will be in the map survey. And we also, we launched the freight plan update survey. Actually, the freight plan update, the stakeholder survey was launched actually August 18th. So that's last Thursday. So we are going to update, we are going to launch the public survey after today's meeting. So Sally is compiling all the contact information. So you're going to receive that link so that you can take the survey. There are only like two questions for the public survey. And there are also a freight plant map. And we also established a social media for the 2050 plan update. And we're also developing, we actually got a brochure. I can show you the draft, the brochure over here. So we still need some update on this finalized information. So when it's ready, we're going to launch it in September. And then we're also trying to figure out the first round of public meetings. We are targeting on at least two virtual meetings, one in the morning, one in the daytime, one in the late after work hours, to make sure that the people can attend, because a lot of people go to work in the daytime. So we want to make sure that those people, they can still use the virtual survey to participate. And we also trying to decide on locations to host the public in-person meetings. So right now, we're trying to finalize everything probably by September the 1st. So just want to let you know. So everything's going on.
All right. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much to MBO staff for the presentation and for the outreach too. If I could make one minor suggestion, I know that there are many people in our community who are probably very excited to take advantage of this new resource, but I think that there are very few people that know what a core MPO is. And I noticed just from the navigation, there are about three or four hyperlinks that you have to jump through just to get to the Mobility 2050, and it's next to Mobility 2045. And just a recommendation for the update, even if it's a simple web page that redirects to the survey or to the 2050 site, maybe something a little more
direct.
A little more direct,
yeah, okay.
For people to access, because we could really use this information to crowdsource where we need to make these improvements. So the more people that we can get engaged, the better that we're going to be able to serve the people that we serve.
Okay.
And I was just going to let you know also that we're also going to have an interactive map so that if people have comments, they can make them and be able to pinpoint that on the maps that are in their neighborhoods. But thank you for that suggestion. We were looking at ways to make it easier for people to get to the survey and the information.
Yeah, also I want to mention, because I have this the public involvement process for the 2050 MTP update. So if you know that some neighborhoods, they have neighborhood meetings, and if they want us to like give a presentation on this, and we will be willing just to go over there and just give you an introduction. So you don't have to come to our meetings and we go to your meetings. So actually that's why we list all these like neighborhoods over here. So last time we actually went to the west side of Savannah neighborhood. We just take about 15 minutes of our time, their meeting time. So we pick it along with them. So, I mean, if you know your community wants to get more information, just contact us and we'll just go over there and talk to you about the highway freight, public transportation, bicycle and pedestrian improvements.
Excellent. Thank you.
Ms. Chairman.
Yes.
May I also offer that the city and the county both have television stations in which we control programming. And so that might be another opportunity for content to be created, whether we create it or the county creates it, and we just run it on both channels.
Okay, great, yeah.
To the extent that people get tired of seeing it, but we need to put that out there as well.
And also we might request that the city and the county, probably Garden City, Savannah Airport, so CAD help us to, like, for example, we are planning on distribute the brochure on the CAD buses. So we have to coordinate with the CAD on that. And also use, probably post our link to your social media as well. So, cause we're gonna have our social media, but we want your assistance in publishing the website on your social media as well.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
The other question I have, and I guess we always have to be very careful about the level at which we communicate. I think if something is overly technical, people just kind of turn off. So though it makes sense to us, we might want to have some way of kind of previewing and ensure that the information we're presenting is something that people just can understand.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And I will let you know that for the survey, we did just that. We sent it out to a variety of people that knew nothing about CORE. And we had also staff kind of just go over and give us suggestions so that we can make it more user-friendly. That's one of the things that's really important to us, and we want to make sure we get as much participation as possible. I'd also like to add that for the other communities that are part of the MPO but not the county or the city, if you've got some space or if you know that you've got meetings in your community that you would like for us to come in present to, please keep us in mind. We have no problems coming to do one of your meetings to at least let you know to make sure we get participation from all of the cities and counties that are part of our MPO boundaries.
And let me be the devil in the details, all right? And I don't mind taking a hit personally, but I think one of the things we need to do about CORE MPO, get all the elected officials in here and then make sure they understand what CORE MPO is talking about. Because some of the stuff that they're saying is not true, and it's not true because it has to come through CORE MPO, and you just can't do it. You know, I don't see why we just can't do it. And see, they're giving out. So let me, in using Mayor Johnson, all right, I use the KISS principle, keep it short and simple. All right. So I think we need to start with elected officials. All right. So they can stop telling people all we got to do is, and then they'd be butting up against laws that won't allow us to do those things. So as we take Mr. Palumbo's suggestion about making it understood by the community what CORE MP does, we can need to make sure the elected officials know what we do too. Mm-hmm. All right. Because they're doing some stuff that you have to clarify sometimes that it's just not true. So
we can also provide the orientation information that we use for the new members. And maybe that is something that we can have run on the television station so the community even understands what we do.
Yeah.
For those of you who have not had the orientation, I think most people have, please let us know. If you want to have a refresher course, please let us know. We have no problems going over that and talking to you, you know, individually about some of the additional funding opportunities that you might need or can use for your capital improvements programs that you're working on in your jurisdictions.
Just don't make it as long as the one I had to go through. All right. Because if you make it that long, you're going to lose a whole lot of them. You have to make it short.
Simple. We can amend it for the public. Precise. Yours was more detailed because you had more responsibility.
But I'm just saying, for other elected officials and the public, you got to dumb it down because they're not going to stay paying attention. And what I'm trying to do is just make sure we understand as a community what we're doing and who's doing what. Mm-hmm. And why we just can't. I don't see why. We just can't. See, and it's because you have to go through a process. And most of them don't want to go through a process. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Let's go on. You ready?
Yes. I'm going to do the freight plan update as well. I have already mentioned this. We actually kicked off the freight plan update on April the 29th. And we already have some deliverables. The project management plan has been developed. A stakeholder engagement plan has been developed. And two technical memos have been delivered, a freight performance measures technical memo, and then the regional freight profile and assessment technical memo. And we also, for the freight plan update, we also have a dedicated website established. So I just want to show you what this looks like. So for this freight plan update, because it will be guided by the Economic Development Freight Advisory Committee, so we're going to post all of the agendas and presentations over here on for the FAQ over here. And then the public involvement, like I mentioned, the stakeholder survey has been launched last Thursday, and the public survey is going to be launched today. So you're going to receive an email on this. So you can just click over here and take the survey, and it's very short, only two questions. So one is about the priorities. Another one is what kind of a freight improvements that you want to see in our area. And then another thing, Another survey is over here. So you can click on it and it will show you the map. So you can just click anywhere, like it's 021, you see the crossing, you click on here and then just to report what problems are. Maybe you see like grade crossing is like it's stopping the traffic for 20 minutes or something, you can all report it over here. So those are the two surveys. And then if you have any questions, and you can just submit your questions through the, actually it's through the form over here, or just to contact me directly, or you can just submit your question over here, or you can just contact me over here and I will receive the email. So that's the freight plan update. So just want to let you know that we're making progress, and the target completion date is July of next year. So at next meeting, we probably will give you more information on the deliverables, like what kind of freight is being moved in our area or through our area and how much. So we will probably show you that information at next meeting.
Mm-hmm. Any questions? Thank you, ma'am. We move on.
Thank you.
Ms. Asia.
Go back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just going to give a short status update on the non-motorized transportation plan and thoroughfare plan update. So just to remind everyone, the Core MPO is going through an update of its non-motorized transportation plan and thoroughfare plan. And these documents contribute to the development of Core MPO's long-range transportation plans. And these plans specifically address bike and pedestrian needs. So currently, Core MPO staff is identifying the jurisdictions and organizations to work with, important population data, information resources to serve as precedent for constructing this plan, and also possible places to hold public outreach. So I have put together a list of the organizations, jurisdictions, and other areas that we're working, or people that we're working with. And I also posed the question of who else are we working with, because we do want to ensure that this plan is inclusive of the whole Core MPO area and of all groups. So if anyone can think of any other organizations or jurisdictions to work with, please let me know. Some of the data that I also want to include in this plan is car ownership data, poverty, disability, populations that have experienced higher rates of injuries as a pedestrian or a bike rider, population of people under 16, and population of people over 65. And I really wanted to focus in on this specific data just because some populations are more exposed or more vulnerable to injuries or death as a bicyclist or a pedestrian than other populations. I also am looking into a program called Numetric, which has crash and accident data. Just to kind of paint a picture of what are the walking and biking conditions within the Core MPO area. And then also FHWA has proven safety countermeasures that I wanted to include in this plan update. And then I also posed the question of what are some other data needs that we should include into this plan update. Some of the information resources Core MPO staff is including is the AARP and Livable Communities. AARP has a lot of great data and information resources on how to make a livable and walkable community for people of all age groups, including senior citizens. And then I also included America Walks and also other bike and pedestrian plans from across the country, such as Emory, California. Emory, California specifically is kind of a bright spot in terms of bike and pedestrians, as it transformed its city from being pretty car dependent to having a robust bike and pedestrian transportation system. Some of the public outreach Core MPO staff wants to conduct is collaborating with organizations like Bike Walk Savannah, Healthy Savannah, CAT, and other organizations to promote the plan and receive public input, have a booth at the Forsyth Market, just because a lot of people from around the county do come to the Forsyth Market, possibly conduct walking audits, such as seeing how are kids taking routes to bus stops or to school. And then we also want to include a comment map where people can put on the map what are some opportunities or problems in specific areas. And in addition to that, the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan update survey also includes bike and pedestrian related questions. And with that, that is all I have to report on this plan update.
All right, any questions? All right, thank you, ma'am. Let us now go to number 10. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We're going to number 12, City of Pula. Is someone? Oh, okay. You want to give us the update for the City of Pula, State Road 26 from Chatham County line into State Road 21, the status report? You're pointing, but
oh, you know what? I'm looking at him. There's nobody on for Pooler, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. I didn't see Tom.
I'm sitting here looking
at him. Actually, City of Pooler coordinated with Sally and provided this status report.
Okay.
The study has been kicked off and is actually moving ahead of schedule. So you can see what will be the deliverables and what are the timelines.
Okay. All right. We can move on then to number 13, Asia.
Okay, so the U.S. Department of Transportation has made technical modifications to the Notice of Funding Opportunity for the Safe Streets and Roads for All grant. These changes include updates to the safety impact criterion rating methodology and additional language to clarify instructions and terminology. The USDOT has also created a new version of the underserved community census tracts tool, which includes population data to make it easier for applicants to calculate the percent of the population in underserved communities. DOT has also added additional information to its FAQ and application resources page on its website to further assist applicants. So the deadline for the SS4A grant remains September 15th, 2022 at 5 p.m. And I have linked all of these changes to the agenda. From what I know currently, City of Savannah, Effingham County, and possibly Chatham County are applying for this grant. And that's all.
Any questions? Well, thank you, ma'am. Let's go on down to the urban flooding.
Hello, one last time. We have now kicked off the urban flood model study. That's something that one of my first tasks since being here. We have met with UGA, we had a kickoff meeting, and we discussed the project management plan along with the timeline. So we should be receiving a project management plan by the end of the month. And we are also identifying the steering committee and stakeholders. So some of you all may be hearing from me soon. And that's all that I have in regards to that project.
All right, any questions? Thank you, ma'am. Now let us move on now to GDOT status report, update report.
Yes, sir, the pre-construction status. Mm-hmm. Number one and two, the Port Wentworth Bridge replacements over Savannah River and Middle River on State Route 25. The final plans
plan design ongoing, and they're anticipated in October. Number three, the safety improvements on State Route 204 from 21 to Rio Road are ongoing, design in progress, working towards PFPR, anticipated in November. Number four, safety improvements on I-16 at Chatham Parkway. This project's ready to let and will be holding to allow for construction of the bridge jacking project to be completed, and that's anticipated in December of 23. Five and six, the widening and bridge replacement on State Route 404 spur US 17 from northeast of Savannah Harbor Parkway to Bat River. The concept submittal is expected by the end of this month. Number seven, the bridge replacement at Bull River continues toward preliminary design, preparing draft environment documentation. Number eight, Lazaretta Bridge working on right-of-way plans and environmental document. And the next milestone is right-of-way authorization. Number nine, State Route 26 from I-516 to Victory Drive. The corrected FFPR plans are anticipated 8/26/22. And it's on schedule for November let, but it may be at risk due to the right-of-way railroad parcel. Number 10, the roundabout on State Route 30 at Hodgeville Road. The concept task order is in progress. And for active construction, we have the Jimmy DeLoach Parkway. The ribbon cutting is scheduled for tomorrow, and it will be open to traffic at that time. And number 3 and 10 on the report are finishing up, and those will fall off this month.
Okay. Any questions? All right, let's move on then to Chatham County project status report.
Yes, we have several projects that are ongoing. I-16 Jimmy DeLoach Parkway interchange. It's had a concept meeting just the beginning of the month. It's ongoing. Our Girard Avenue improvement project, we've had two stakeholder meetings recently, and that's going well. The Robert McCorkle Trail, it's substantially complete now, with just working on closing that out. LaMig is ongoing now. We've had it right in the middle of resurfacing 12 county roads, and that's scheduled to be completed in October. And the Delaney Road shoulder paving is nearing completion as well.
All right, question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank the county manager, county engineer. I want to thank them for having neighborhood meetings prior to that Girard Avenue project that we're working on. And also, I would like to know, is there an update on the 204 traffic study? The 204 traffic study between Georgetown and Highway 17.
I'm not sure on that right at the moment. Sorry. I don't have anything.
Is there anybody?
Mr. Chairman, this is Nathan.
Go ahead, Nathan.
Good morning, Commissioner Milton. We actually have a call with GDOT Traffic Ops today at 2:00 to get an update on that study. So we will certainly update you as soon as we get that information from them later today.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's not included in the things that have come about MPO.
No, that's an independent study that GDOT took to look at the interchange of State Route 204 and Pine Grove Road. But we're partnering with them on that.
Right. But I just want to make it clear for the others who don't see that in front of them, that study has nothing to do with MPO. It's county and
yes, sir.
And GDOT. All right.
Yes, sir.
Okay, City of Savannah.
Thank you. Good morning. Steve Henry, City of Savannah Mobility Services. The update for DeLessop's is the right-of-way clearing process is ongoing. Utility relocation should begin shortly thereafter. The right-of-way is cleared. We're hoping to be at the end of this third quarter. Traffic Control Center. We've done presentations from the vendors that bid this project. We're waiting. We've scored them. We're waiting DBE confirmation, and that should be awarded. Hopefully, we hope to have it on council agenda for September 9th. If we get the DBE information this week, we should be able to award or recommend award. We touched on I-516 in Duran. You'll note at the end, right away, it's actually moved to 2025 for the earlier conversation. And Truman Linear Trail, property acquisition process is ongoing. All right-of-way agreements are scheduled to go before City Council. This has been moved to September 8th, so that is a correction versus August 11th.
All right, any questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Chatham Area Transit.
Good morning, Ashley Goodrich, Chatham Area Transit. Our CAT hybrid ferry construction design is complete and the IFP will be issued next month for construction. Our paratransit vehicles are currently paused due to a chassis shortage. CAT is reviewing options under state contract. We have three diesel heavy duty buses on order and are expected for delivery next year. The Clever ITS technology has completed phase 8 of 9 with the Ferry Apollo installation over the past month. The ferry maintenance facility and dock has continued coordination with the City of Savannah, the FTA, and our local partners. The facility's renovation at CAT Central, we have a wellness center art mural under construction. We have one electric bus on order as of April 2022. We recently were awarded new funding for 5339C LONO for additional electric buses. Over the next 2 years, we have a total of 8 electric buses that will be procured, ordered, and delivered. The master transit plan is starting to get underway. Our transit development TDP is gathering data for analysis. And our zero emission implementation plan is underway as well.
All right. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. You didn't tell me who was giving this status update.
She's not in attendance. She's not online. So this is just here for information purposes.
Okay. So you have this in your packet. Okay. All right, the tip. That's in your packet as well.
Yes, sir. That's just for information. Everybody has entered the information they needed to. So.
Okay. Any questions that anybody had about that? All right. Bloomingdale, any status report update? Effingham County?
No report, Mr. Chairman.
Garden City? Georgia Ports Authority? Hinesville Area MPO? Pooler? Port Wentworth? Richmond Hill?
Nothing, sir.
Savannah Airport Commission?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A quick update from the airport rental car facility. Hopefully wrapped up in the next month. Had some long lead items that are still waiting to come in. Safety, security, customer service upgrade. Southeast quadrant drainage improvements, improved drainage in the area and also allow us to do the next build out in Southeast quadrant. Demo air cargo project, that's in project closeout. So that'll be completed shortly. Project bid recently and awarded is our TSA checkpoint expansion. That'll get underway very shortly to expand the checkpoint and hopefully improve queue times at the airport. That's my report. Pending any further questions, thank you.
All right, any questions? Thunderbolt?
Nothing for the group, Mr. Chairman.
Tyvee?
No report, Mr. Chair.
Brennenberg? All right. Notes, calls for plans and studies for FY 2024 UPWP development.
Mr. Chairman, that is just for information. So basically, it's targeting the TCC members. So if you have new studies that you want to pursue in fiscal year 2024, we need to include that information in the new UPWP.
All right. The next core, excuse me, the next core MPO board meeting will be October 26th. All right. Then we move that to November. We moved to November what?
November the 2nd.
November the 2nd. Please make that note in your books. All right. The next meeting will be November the 2nd at 10 o'clock. All right. So make that change. All right. Nothing else? Anything else that needs to come up? If not, we'll move for adjournment.
So moved. Miley.
All right. Got a motion and a second.
Second, Palumbo.
All right. We got a motion and second to adjourn. Starting to my left.
Callanan, yes.
Caiafa, yes.
Blake, yes.
Bustle, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Johnson, yes. Yes.
Kellen, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Massimo, yes.
Cody, yes.
Aiello, yes.
The chairman, yes. We adjourn.